Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Saturday's up for the hot stove at all-purpose Roto. And thanks for tuning in, downloading, and rating us. That helps us stay on the air and feel like we're contributing to the greater good, right, Chris?
Yeah, and sorry it's on a Sunday, but unforeseen circumstances, you know, off season, a little bit busier. We gotta fit some more stuff in because we can't really do anything during the season.
And we're not going to spend time on the air giving you the drama of our personal lives, but as far as them interrupting with what's important. But it's fantasy football, and the NFL is 12 months a year. I've got to get the rest of my world to understand that.
Yeah, you really need to reprioritize and figure this thing out.
I mean, I know the Super Bowl's over, but people got to understand, I got stuff to do with football, right?
Yeah. I mean, tangentially, I suppose.
I do. This is stuff I got to get done. Okay, I'm going to hit you real quick with a couple. I know you've got some stuff, but I did a little work today and yesterday and the day before. So, you know, there's some stuff I want to talk about. Turning of the page in St. Louis, Cooks, Laurentis, Long, all released, Chris.
Yeah, that was it clears out, I think it was around $25 million, and they have a total of about $50 million in cap room.
So what are we going to expect out of our good coach out there that everyone just loves? But what does this do to Todd Gurley in that pathetic offense that's not run well?
I'm not particularly worried about Todd Gurley this year. I'm worried about what Jeff Fisher will do to him over the long haul. I think that this year he is a very safe top three pick, because I think he's just going to get run into the ground. The rest of the offense, I have no idea what the hell is going to happen.
That's they have like $11 million in dead money as well. But like you said, this helped them get going. Laurentis, I think you can pencil him in a giant. They've been so hurting for linebacker talent. They got to take a risk on him, even though he had a bad year.
Yeah, not a very good year. I think I saw that Pro Football Focus graded him as the second worst inside linebacker.
Yep, terrible.
I mean, that would be a giant move, is to just kind of put duct tape on it rather than trying to develop a middle linebacker. But yeah,
if he played for the Giants last year, he'd been the best linebacker they had in 10 years. Okay, Heath Miller announces his retirement. Always kind of like that top 1B tight end, but has been on a lot of fantasy championships due to injuries. Just noting the passing of the guard there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he wasn't really a fantasy tight end. He wasn't. His numbers didn't really like reflect what his value to that offense was. Great blocker. By all accounts, sounded like he's a pretty good guy. He had his moments in fantasy, but the Steelers did not call on him to really be a phenomenal dynamic pass catching tight end, but. What's nice is that was Heath Miller's skill set, and that he was a great blocker. Whoever they bring in, I can't imagine is going to be as complimentary as Heath Miller was. So they might not be able to use whoever they bring in the same way. So maybe we see a little bit more pass catching from the tight end position out of.
I was kind of wondering about that. They got 2015 fifth round pick Jesse James. I'm hoping he makes it just because I want to say Jesse James with the touchdown.
He's probably the guy at this point
for now.
People are talking
Miller though. We gotta give him some credit. All time leader Steeler touchdowns, tight end 45 catches, about 600, and he's the sixth most catches tight end in NFL history. But I think that's more a reflection of his longevity, like you said, not some massive fantasy seasons.
I really like one thing, if you're ever curious or you have a bunch of time on your hands, I really like jumping on the subreddit for whichever team I'm kind of researching. And I was on Steelers Reddit yesterday, and they were mentioning free agent tight ends, and people were talking about Ladarius Green, and they're still in cap space hell, man. I think Jesse James is probably going to be the guy. Probably bring in another rookie as well. But I think Jesse James is going to be the guy in 2016.
Over in my team, sunny Florida, Miami Herald's Adam Beasley reports the Dolphins are reaching out to Rishard Matthews. But, you know, the wide receiver pool for free agents, not so sexy this year. I'm kind of thinking Matthews is going to go try to get some big money somewhere.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say, is that if they reset, because they're not in a great cap situation either, but If they re-sign Matthews, that might cost them Miller.
Correct. Yeah. They get that tight, get that wide receiver, they won't have the money for Lamar Miller. And they're making noise like they want Miller, but I don't see how they can do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that we both like Matthews and limited. You know, he wasn't great last year, but he flashed some stuff. The other thing is that I like the guys that they have there. I think Parker and Stills can do it. You know, I think that they'd be fine next to Landry.
Well, the rumors are, of course, Gase likes this guy Matthews. For considering what was going on in Miami last year, posting 43 for 600 something yards, pretty good in 11 games. I think this is a wide receiver to watch this year. Titan coach Mike Mularkey, you probably have this one, but I had to put it in here for you because I wanted you to respond first. Yeah. Mike Mularkey says he wants this system to be, quote, exotic smash mouth. What the hell is that?
Yeah, a lot of people jumped all over this, and rightfully so. I don't know what exotic smash mouth was or is. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
You're at a loss. I love it.
It's not good, whatever it is. I can tell you
that. The Titan folks are saying is, quote, it's clear that Mularkey wants Mariota to run more, and that would be a boon to the sophomore's fantasy value that we've seen on the wire a lot. But that's crazy, man. It's the second year of your potential franchise 10-year quarterback. Oh, let's run him more. That guy's not built like Cam Newton.
Well, that's the thing, right, is that even Cam Newton, and whether we agreed with it or not, there weren't a ton of design runs down the stretch for Cam Newton unless he was right on the goal line. So I don't know why he would do that to Marcus Mariota.
It just goes to what you said, that this team could be in for a rough year. Packer coach Mike McCarthy said he's confident Eddie Lacy's conditioning is going to be better.
Yeah, he's already lost some weight, apparently, which is good. And we talked about this. This guy was in the ringer, so we might be on board Eddie Lacy Island for 2016.
Particularly as it's his free agent year, so he's going to lose the weight, come out, and get one more check, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it behooves him to lose his weight and to look good. So he's slipping a little bit, and I think that his value continues to slide, that's where he gets more and more attractive.
We like that. We don't talk much IDP anymore, but of course those are our roots, and we still participate in it. So I've got to mention this. Defensive coordinator, you think a lot of Ray Horton, of course, over there in Cleveland. He's back with Bartavius Mingo, who he helped draft. And he's already talking about using him different. Mingo was basically throwing up donuts last year. Is he going to be IDP relevant this year, Chris?
I don't know about Mingo because it's just been such a long time. But I think that he's going to get something out of either him or Kruger.
Let's hope so. Panthers, Jared Allen, another IDP note. I got to give it to where it deserves. Allen was on a lot of fantasy IDP championships. Retires after 12 seasons.
Yeah, and not super surprising that there was two retirements this year that I think were kind of related to the fact that the players were kind of realistic with their situation. One was Jared Allen, where the Panthers were going to cut him if he didn't retire, and then the other one was Jerod Mayo with the Patriots, where he was going to get cut as well if they didn't retire. So both guys, you know, great careers and hung it up, but everyone saw the Allen video of riding off on a horse. I can't believe that anyone hasn't done that at this point yet. I'm surprised he's the first one.
I just can't surprise. Hey, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, of course, let us know that Eagle coach Doug Peterson believes in pending free agent Chase Daniels more than a backup. I've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah, so the rumors of him to Philadelphia start, it's leverage with Sam Bradford, right?
Yes.
In contract negotiations. So, is Chase Daniel a free agent?
I think impending. You know, I think it's for next year. I was going to look that up before the show, but I think he's under contract this year. But you've got some Andy Reid, Doug Peterson juice there, right? If Andy's good with Alex and needs a piece that the Eagles could help with, I kind of like some. I think there's some legs underneath this, and I liked what I saw with Daniel.
Chase is he's going to be 30, and he's an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, so that's pretty interesting. It could be a push right there. I mean, his 6 years, I think what he spent the first 2 years under Drew, or the first three or four, and then he finished a couple of years under Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think he signed a 3-year contract with Kansas City, if I remember correctly, and first 4 years with Drew Brees. So,
go ahead.
Backup Patriots have gotten paid for doing less. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if someone went after Chase Daniel, given the lackluster quarterback crop.
Went and took a little time to do some scouting on some Jeff Janisch college tape. This guy, because you talked about him a couple shows in a row, you've mentioned this. And, of course, he had the big playoff game. You know, this guy's good. He's entering his third season. He's getting better with that Packer team, obviously. The guy's like 6'2.5", big hands. The other Packer wide receivers can't get any separation, right? This is his third year in college. Okay, he had a 4-year college career, total 246 catches. But his last 2 years, 100 catches, 106, and then 83, posting over 1,500 yards both times, posting over 14 touchdowns. So he can catch a lot of balls. How high up do you think he might move this is a player that's going to move up boards through the fantasy season. What do you think?
Well, keep in mind that I think with the Packers, you're going to need to cast a wide net for that third wide receiver, or maybe even we might even be looking at a tight end. Going into 2016 here. So I'm not super confident that Jeff Janisch is going to be that guy. I think he was great in the playoff game. By pretty much every indication, it sounds like Devontae Adams might be cut this offseason. But they have him at a pretty cost-controlled price. So unless they draft a guy, I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
I guess I'm saying, how many snaps is this guy going to play? Because, you know, Cobb will be back, but he's really struggling staying on the field. Adams goes away. James Jones, I don't think, is going to be back.
Yeah.
Who's going to be out there?
I don't think we know yet because the draft hasn't happened. So I think that if you look at it, it was like 10.6% or 11.6% of snaps Janisch was out there. And then in the playoff game, what happened was everyone was hurt. So Janisch had to be out there. They just didn't have the confidence in this guy for some reason, and maybe that's going to change. But I think that a really good indication of Jeff Janisch is going to be in for a bigger role is that if we come to the draft and we don't see the Packers take another wide receiver, which they've been really good in the draft at identifying wide receivers that are going to work out for them. So number one, Jordy Nelson is back.
Right.
Number two, Randall Cobb is much better playing off of Jordy Nelson.
Absolutely true.
And number three, they have talked about adding a tight end this offseason. So if that's a rookie, then, you know, we know how rookie tight ends work out generally in the first year. It's not super well. But Richard Rodgers has been okay for them. You know, a B-minus tight end and at times a decent fantasy producer. So I don't think you can draft Jeff Janisch super high. I'll put it that way.
Well, there's so much Packer love out there. He probably will. One more guy before you get to some of the stuff you wanted to bring out. Ryan Grant, we mentioned occasionally on the show, now becoming interesting because of the veteran wide receivers in front of him. Deshaun Jackson, of course, one of those, Pierre Garçon, not sure which ones will be back. What do you think about Ryan Grant heading into this is probably his third year as well.
I would prefer Jamison Crowder. As you said, Garçon might not be back. Jackson isn't a free agent.
He's
right?
Not. Yeah. He's not a free agent, but boy.
They're going to keep him because it's not a, I'll take a look at his cap hit here because it's, I don't think it's terrible. But yeah, I prefer Crowder. Don't you? It's 9.2 million for Deshaun Jackson. They're not going to cut him for that price because whoever they get to replace Deshaun Jackson, they're going to have to pay more than that.
They pay
more.
And
he's not better than Deshaun Jackson. So 9.2 is very, very reasonable for Deshaun Jackson in this current market. I prefer Jamison Crowder to Ryan Grant.
All right. I'm watching that Grant package. I think he could be which is great. If Crowder has some good games in the preseason, I kind of like Grant as that, you know, 17th round pick. On an offense. So I guess really isn't my question to you then, do you believe Kirk Cousins is a passing quarterback that'll be in the top 14 next year? Isn't that the real question then?
Do we know for certain that Kirk Cousins is going to be back with them?
I wonder about that. Do you?
I can't tell you for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. Be that way.
I'm just saying that we don't know for sure. Did you hear about what Dwayne Allen said? I believe it was 2 weeks ago.
No.
Zach Kiefer of the, I believe he's from the Indy Star Tribune, had a pretty great quote from Dwayne Allen, and I'm just pulling it up right here. It's he said, Zach mentioned to him that he was targeted 29 times in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwayne says, quote, targeted 29 times? Wow, that many? He said with a sarcastic smile. He said, I didn't know it was 29. They count some throwaways, though, so if I was in the vicinity.
Oh, no. So yeah, he's as good as gone.
He's a free agent.
And given how tough it is out there at tight end, does he land in a Pittsburgh, for example?
Well, I don't think, once again, they are in salary cap hell, so I can't imagine. I can't imagine that they would really spend on a tight end. But you know, he's been a backup. He's been injured, so he would be a guy that I'd be excited to see where he would go. Super talented guy, but just with the number of targets that have been in Indianapolis, he really hasn't really broken out.
I think he's degraded each year. He's had problems with health, but again, I think you're right. You could see some odd things happen. You could see San Diego end up in trouble if Green leaves and desperate for another veteran-type tight end. He could be there.
Kevin Seifert points out that there's going to be $1 billion in NFL cap space this offseason, which is unprecedented, according to Kevin. I think guys like Dwayne Allen are going to get paid and not be viable for the Pittsburgh Steelers because they don't have the money to pay him. This is going to be a weird free agent period because there's not, I'm looking and there's some talented guys here, but it's not quite as robust as you would think a normal free agent class is. An example is the wide receivers. If Alshon Jeffrey actually hits free agency and the Bears allow him to do so, he's going to get a stupid contract.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the wide receivers because while I'm high on Matthews, I think there's not a ton like that. And are you saying it comfortably he's in the top 10 available wide receivers?
I would have to look at it closer, but he would get a good amount of money, I
think. And probably not really. He's going to get overpaid.
Yeah. I would say that typically the top 5 to 10 free agents each position will get overpaid. That's going to happen in a traditional year, unless there's an injury history, which with Matthews, there's not.
So, you know, you're talking about cap space here. It's a little bit because the Jaguars, of course, lead the pile there with $33 million, but they have a great young nucleus. So they probably won't spend a lot of that because they're going to need that money to re-sign these players if they keep developing and that team makes a push, right?
Yeah, I mean... Typically, that's what's perceived as the smarter way to go is to
battle plan.
Yeah, is to let guys develop and, you know, go after a few free agents, but nothing crazy. And it's we'll see who makes a splash in free agency. Yep. And I would be more excited about offensive linemen and seeing where they go and how that impacts the offense. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Dave Burkett talked to Lions president Rod Wood, and he says that Calvin Johnson's still unsure about his actual retirement at this point.
Well, he's just pulling at the guts of fantasy owners who love the guy, aren't they? Isn't he?
Well, I think what's happening is that Calvin Johnson is sure. He's sure that he wants to retire. The Lions the Lions are just doing everything they possibly can to make sure that doesn't happen.
Jeez, I'll tell you.
That would be pretty jarring for this offense to not have that guy, because at 85% or whatever you think he is at this point,
yeah,
he's just such a vital part of that offense, and that would be a shock to say the least to that offense if he's not there, to have to reshuffle all the chairs on the deck because he's not there. It would be pretty brutal for this team.
Well, it's like you said, a lot of people are talking how excited they are about Golden Tate, but Golden Tate opposite Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate as the one, two entirely different things.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't even begin to think about what would happen to Golden Tate without Calvin Johnson.
It's not good. And I'm a big Tate fan like you are. And you're right. A Calvin at 65% lined up going against Golden Tate on the other side is still better.
That being said, depending on where he goes, I would still draft Golden Tate. He'd be a matchup play for me. But I think that he would be successful in a sense. But it's just he can do so much more with Calvin Johnson out there.
Yeah. And they're still devoid at tight end. Their rookie didn't come on from 2 years ago. Pettigrew's gone. Yoke Bell is gone. There's a lot of receptions up in the air right now.
Yeah. The one positive thing there is that with Eric Ebron, tight ends typically do take 2, 3, 4 years once they come into the league. So it's sort of unreasonable to expect just in year one for a tight end or even in year two to just kind of come on gangbusters. So they're still saying the right things about Eric Ebron. So I'm certainly not advocating for taking him super high or anything like that. But he's a guy who could come on, especially with Calvin gone. More Lions news. Tim Twentyman points out that Zach Zenner might be a starting running back for them because of their current situation. So pretty interesting. Zach Zenner was a hot name during the preseason last year. He was either a seventh round or undrafted guy. Kind of liked him. He ended up going on IR, I believe, early in the season. But this was a guy who the fans in Detroit loved. They loved that guy.
Yeah, you can't underscore that enough. The fans did like rooting for Zenner. They just kind of got into the game. So with Bell gone, Riddick gets an opportunity here to be more of that pass-catching, role-playing running back that does have fantasy relevance. And Abdullah, of course, struggled just catching up the nuances of the game, let alone performing. So Zenner's going to have – I'm with you. He's going to have at least an equal shot of being the 1A there at that team.
Yeah, so once again, I talked about casting a wide net with Packers with Packers wide receivers. I think you're gonna have to cast a wide net with Detroit running backs as well.
So dancing with the devil in Detroit at running back is a lot better than dancing with the devil in Bill Belichick.
I suppose if that's the road that you want to go. So I wanted to ask you that it's crazy that the Bears aren't just either franchising or working on a contract with Alshon Jeffrey, right?
It's surprising. It's a money thing too, though. That once they franchise him, you're kind of starting to peg that contract. So, maybe they're trying to do other things to help that team. I don't know. I think the team's going to struggle. Gase was important.
They have like $60 million in cap room, and he would be, like I said, that guy would get absolutely paid in free agency.
Well, they've also got $28 million in dead money.
Well, but so that matters a lot more if you have $10 million in cap space instead of $60 million, right?
Yes. They really have that much right now?
Yeah, I can look at the exact number, but it's absurd how much cap room they have. Jeez. It's high. So, like I said, if you're the Steelers or you're the Saints and you're rated up against the cap number, yeah, that's bad. But in the case of the Bears where they have cap room to work with, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. Charles Sims, Pewter Report, I was reading on Pewter Report that the team doesn't view Sims as a workhorse, as a number one running back. So if they lose Doug Martin, they're still going to look to either add a rookie or another player. Charles Sims was pretty great this past year.
I liked him, and I think I wasn't alone. Of course, a lot of people liked him. A great, the new type of running backs in the NFL where you're playing roles and schemes, and the smart teams are getting on board with that because the guy can play all year. I think they're right. I don't think Charles Sims can be that guy every week, and there's not many who can. They're freaks that could do that now. So, yeah, if they lose Martin, don't think Sims is going to get the ball 22 times a game.
I meant to pull it up. I totally forgot. I saw it earlier in the week that Mike Clay tweeted out from Pro Football Focus an article that they did on how well running backs did against seven guys in the box or more. Ooh. So against traditional defenses. And Charles Sims was one of the guys who really kind of surged in that situation and went above and beyond expectations. And Todd Gurley was great, and the other guy who was really good was Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls was an absolute monster against seven guys in the box. I thought it was funny to see, because you know we both kind of like Sims and thought he did well, but I thought it was funny to see him in that situation where it was like, oh wow, I wasn't crazy. He was actually doing a good job.
Yeah. So I mean, if Martin leaves, I like definitely an uptick to Sims, but I just don't think he's going to be, you know, 18 touches and seven catches, 18 rushes and seven catches. So they've got to do something there to help him. And once again, are we going to get sucked into Tampa Bay? I mean, man, Mike Evans, I'm a big fan of. VJax is going to come back. ASJ really looks good as a rookie tight end. I mean, he looks like he can be a beast out there.
It was another second-year guy, actually.
So yeah, thank you. And Sims, of course, looks good. Jameis played a lot better than we thought. So they got rid of that coach. So, I mean, are we going to – but we're worried about Dirk Koetter there. Yeah. So am I going to get sucked in here again, or am I going to be able to – have some fantasy kryptonite against this team?
I am worried about Dirk Koetter, to be clear. This is another team with just a lot of cap room, so it would be really surprising if they just let Doug Martin go. I think either franchising him or giving him a lot of money for, say, 2 years would be pretty smart on their part, because they do have – they're another team with an excess of, like, $50 million in cap space. So – with how good Doug Martin was for you last year, I think that it would be pretty silly to let him go. When your offense, he was the best part about their offense last year. There's no question that he was the best thing on their offense.
So Mike Evans is an early mock drafts is sliding down, which is kind of nice. I'm liking Evans in round two.
I'm
liking it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm on Sports Track looking at cap hits.
Oh, I heard some people talking about with Julio Jones going round one. I wanted to say, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. What are you talking about with Julio Jones going round one? I mean, you look at Ryan's numbers, everyone's disappointed. He still posted tons of yardage, and Julio's making catches. There's no question Julio's a first-round pick in every format.
Yes. He's been a first-round pick for 3 years now. I'm on sportstrack.com, lists out contract information of players. You want to know why the Lions really want to know what Calvin Johnson's doing and they want him back?
Yeah, lay it on me. I'm not going to like this.
His cap hit is $24 million. So they have to figure out if that cap hit is either going to be on the books or if they're going to have to renegotiate with Calvin, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah.
$24 million hit this year.
Yep.
Or that guy at this time in his career.
Yep.
Wonderfully managed team. Fantastic.
Peyton Manning is $21.5 million.
Peyton Manning's $25
million? $21.5.
For 2016?
Yep. But, I mean, Calvin is kind of like the last vestige of that broken NFL draft system where he was already the top paid wide receiver in the entire league when he came in. And then he had to get an even bigger contract, and it just kind of spirals out of control with those guys. Larry Fitzgerald was a victim of that too. Well, I mean, it's hard to say someone's a victim when they're making upwards of $10 million a year for their entire career. So I guess victim's probably the wrong word on my part, but
exploited.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not even.
I'm joking.
Exploited is also the wrong word, but
oh, it's abused.
No, it's, like, but I mean, it puts them in a strange situation. So, yes.
Are the NFL secret police going to go out and try to confiscate all the University of Tennessee and Peyton Manning stories from the 70s and 80s, or what's going to go on there?
Well, I mean, it's been pointed out by several people, but it's somewhat suspicious that this story is not being reported, and all of these networks are going to be clotheslining each other to get Peyton Manning on TV. So they don't want to get on his bad side. They want to use whatever negotiation leverage they have. So that might be why this story is somewhat underreported.
It's a little under. If you want some amusement, I shouldn't say amusement. If you want to be intrigued at what shenanigans might have been going on in Tennessee, just go online. There's lots of sources with you can actually look at the report if you want, right, Chris? You just read the darn report.
I think so. You know how exploited was not an appropriate word. I think that shenanigans is not the appropriate word for what was going on in Tennessee either. Criminal.
Wow.
Criminal activity, I would
certainly
say.
Certainly bad memories from a culture in America that's passed, and I'm glad of it. That
well, I don't, some of this
supposed to tolerate it.
Some of this stuff is pretty recent, so I don't know how past it was, especially at Tennessee. But
you know, the stuff that I find completely ridiculous and offensive is gone, and I think
hopefully
I believe in them. It's gone, but my gosh,
it's not gone everywhere. But
yeah, it's not gone everywhere. I know.
But yeah. So
hey, and those women. It's good they're pushing it. And guys, if you haven't been exposed to women drafting in fantasy football, you know, Chris and I had a great time last year. There was a all-women's league drafting next to us. And gosh, I had a great time sitting down with them. And they know some stuff, boys, and they win some championships. So they're going to continue to make their presence felt in the fantasy community.
Yeah. And, you know, it certainly sounds like the trainer who Manning kind of just supposedly exposed himself, maybe rubbed his, who knows, who knows exactly what happened, but whatever he did to her, it certainly impacted her career negatively. Granted, she got some money, but it doesn't sound like it was an awesome time for her. So really just forget about the HGH stuff. This stuff is bad too. And both of it coming together at once.
It reminds me of what the locker room must have been like at Slapshot, the real Slapshot with Paul Newman. If they were really existing, that's probably how their locker room behaved.
Yeah, but I don't. The thing about that is that they were doing that to each other. So there was a kind of a hint of mutually assured destruction. If you're going to do something to one of your teammates, then it was going to come back at you. Someone who's working for the team, it's tough to put them in that situation because that's their livelihood, right? It's
NFL Combine coming up.
Yep. Is it this week or is it next week?
Starts next week.
Nice. Very exciting. So we will be monitoring that. Probably the best part about that is that teams are talking to each other, teams are having some fun. So we'll have a much better handle on free agency.
Don't get intimidated about trying to get sucked into all the stats and needing to know, you know, what player did this. My biggest advice, I heard it from so many fantasy guys that have won championships, is spend a few minutes just to try to watch that combine, at least to get your own eye test on a player. Even your head coaches talk about that, because you can have a guy 6'2", 215, built a certain way. You have another guy 6'1.5". You know, 209, totally different, you know, body types, Chris. So getting that getting your eyes on a player so you can help adjust your board, I find extremely helpful, and so do fantasy champions.
I'll tweet it out, but there's been plenty of guys who have been very successful in NFL players who ran slow 40s.
Yes.
So don't worry about that. You know, a big deal was made of a team executive asking Cam Newton if he considered himself a cat or dog, and then getting combative with Cam when Cam said that he didn't consider himself either. And
that was great.
And then of course the Dez Bryant, is your mother a prostitute, from the Dolphins. So there's a lot of nonsense that goes on this week. So just keep that in mind.
Go to the eye test, man. Don't worry. Like Chris said, ranking the top 40s is a ridiculous way to rank your draft board.
Yep. Absolutely. So
didn't work for Al Davis.
All right. Sounds good. Anything else at allpurposeroto@gmail.com? Anything else before we go, Bob?
I'm good to go. Let's get to the combine.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you soon.